You're listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ, teaching and worshiping God in the beautiful New York State counties of Orange and Rockland.
I wanted us today to do a sermon, a lesson which is quite fundamental to us as disciples. And I wanted it to be a lesson where we talk about what we are about as a church. What are the distinctive qualities of who we are as a people of God? And I think it's important. I think it's important to know what distinguishes you from other people. And in this case, we'll talk about what distinguishes us as a church. And part of that is that we do really believe in going by the Bible. And we are a biblical church. We believe in reading the Scriptures, studying the Scriptures, going by the Scriptures, obeying the Scriptures. When we study the Bible with someone, we want them to open their Bible and read the Bible. Most of the time, we have them read the text themselves. We have them answer some questions about the Scripture because we want to make sure that they are understanding the Scripture itself. That's very, very important to us. And so that's why the lesson today is three important Scriptures. And you say, well, what distinguishes these Scriptures? What's said in them does. You look at the Scriptures themselves, and they sort of scream out, underline me. You ever seen a Scripture like that? You know, highlight me. There are points in the Bible that I get. You don't highlight everything in your Bible, or I think you probably don't. Some people, it seems like they almost do. You open their Bible, and they color-code it in green and red and yellow, and there's just colors on every page. And it's a beautiful rainbow, but I'm not sure how you read through all those colors. For me, I like to underline things that I think are important. Here's an underlining from Zephaniah right there. There's some notes and underlining here in the Gospel of Luke. But, you know, you turn over to Leviticus, and there's just not a lot of underlining in the book of Leviticus. There's not. The genealogies and Chronicles, not a lot of underlining in those, 11 chapters of names. One name after the next after the next. But there are Scriptures that beg to be underlined. And I think it's important that when we get to those, we pay a proper attention to those Scriptures. And that's what we're going to be doing today. You know, the fact is that all of the Bible is important. And all of the Bible matters. Because it's God's gift to us. It's God's love letter to his people. And so as we read the Bible, we need to pay attention to all of it. But there are certain Scriptures that just scream out, pay extra attention to me. I went one day and I just looked around the house at how many Bibles we have in the house. And I counted 50 different Bibles in our house. Different translations. We have the Bible in Russian, the Bible in Sanskrit, the Bible in, my favorite is, when I was in Samaria, which is today the West Bank, I went up on top of Nablus, and that was Shechem in the Old Testament, and I started asking around, does anyone have a Samaritan Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible? And so there weren't many stores on the top of this mountain, but I just went in one store after the next. You know where I can find a Samaritan Pentateuch? You know where I can find a Samaritan Pentateuch? And a guy reached behind the counter, and he said, here, have mine. And I can't read Samaritan. In fact, there's probably only maybe 5,000 people in the world that can. But I wanted it because it's significant, because it's the Pentateuch. It's the five books of Moses translated into the Samaritan language. And so we have that at the house. And that doesn't count all the e-Bibles. You know, you get on the e-Bibles and you can get so many translations there. But I just love having Bibles around. And I love Bibles that I can get and then mark up. Usually at the beginning of my Bible, this one I got in 2007, I write 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. You can see it if you can see this far. It says, speak, for your servant is listening. And I like when I open my Bible just to have that attitude. Speak, for your servant is listening. And today as we look at these three Scriptures, 5 points, I want us to have that mindset. Speak to me, Lord, because your servant is listening. Good. That should say a little more. At the top, it should say three important Scriptures. These are the Scriptures we're going to look at. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. John 13, 33 through 35, and Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All of these are very important passages. And in those passages, if you look closely, you will see 5 points being made. And there are those 5 points. You see loving God, which I translate into worship, loving neighbor, which translates into service, loving one another, which translates into relationships, loving the lost, which translates into evangelism, and loving spiritual growth, which translates into discipleship. And really, that's a big part of what the church should be about, those things. And if you put those together, you see that you have these scriptures that then fit in with those points. In Matthew 22, there's loving God and loving neighbor. In John 13, there is loving one another. In Matthew 28, there's loving the lost and loving spiritual growth. So, are you guys with me? You sure? You with me? All right, let's start with the first one here. Let's go to worship. Matthew chapter 22, 37. You can turn your Bible over there. And at the top, it should read, loving God or worship. This might be the prettiest slideshow that I've ever made. And it's a shame that it's not coming out right, because it's so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. I know. I feel badly for you, actually, because I'm looking at it here, and I see the whole thing. And it's mesmerizing. I can hardly take my eyes off the screen. But for you, yeah, some things dropped out. Not sorry. I apologize for that. Matthew chapter 22, this is one of those scriptures that begs to be underlined, and I'll tell you why as we read it. Let's start down in verse 30. Let's start in 34, actually, up in 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest command in the law? And that's why this scripture is so important. That's why this scripture demands to be underlined or highlighted, because Jesus is answering an important question. It's a question that stumped many teachers in the first century. It's a question that the scribes, the experts in the law, loved to ask, because they loved to see what's going to happen when I ask this question. Is he going to get it right? Is he going to waffle back and forth? Is he going to say, oh, they're all important? Or is he really going to give me a direct answer? In fact, there was one guy, one religious leader named Shammai, who was asked this question. He was a leader, high leader in the Jewish hierarchy, and he was asked this question, what's the greatest of all the commandments? And he answered by taking his sandal off, beating the scribe upon the head, and saying, that's a ridiculous question. Well, Jesus didn't act that way. Amen. Jesus instead gave him an answer. Another reason it's important, there are 613 commandments in the Old Testament. Imagine that. Imagine trying to follow 613 commandments and then wondering which ones are more important than the other ones. And that's what they did. They spent a lot of time thinking about these things. And so they come to Jesus, what's the most important of all 613? And he answers them. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. That's where it all begins. Loving God. And so the first point from this important scripture is love God. As a church, that's what we need to do. As a people of God, we need to love God. And one of the ways that I translate loving God is into worship, glorifying God. How are you doing glorifying God with your life? How are you doing worshiping God with your life? You know, worship, it's great to come together on a Sunday to worship. But this isn't everything about worship. And we spend, 20 minutes singing, 30 minutes listening to a lesson, taking communion together, and then we leave. In fact, we come in here to recharge our batteries to go out there and really worship God. Worship is a 24/7 lifestyle. Now, I think it's important to come here to worship. It's more because of some of the other things we're going to be talking about. But if our mindset is, oh, I got to go to church, I got to worship God, and that's it, then you're just a Sunday morning Christian. And God wants more than that. If you do it Easter and Christmas, then you're an Easter Christmas Christian. And God wants more than that. If you do it Sunday morning and Wednesday midweek, and then maybe a Bible talk during the week, then you're a Sunday morning, Wednesday midweek Bible talk Christian. But God still wants more than that. Because he expects us to be 24/7 disciples. People that love him with everything that we have. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That means everything is devoted to God. And so that's what worship is. You know, one thing that bothers me in the Christian world that we live in today, there's a number of things, but this is one thing, is there's a term out there that's called worshiptainment. Another way that they talk about it is come and have a worship experience with us. You know, it's like, come and we are going to entertain you in worship for an hour or an hour and a half. But biblically, that's not worship. What worship is all about. It's not about being entertained. It's about giving God your heart, giving him everything that you have. And if you have that mindset, oh, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to be entertained, then you'll come in, you'll plop yourself down, and you'll say, okay, entertain me. And that's what you do at the movies. It's not what you do at church. Your church, you come in and you get here early. At church, you come in and you have a giving spirit. At church, you come in, and no matter what the week was like, you get your battery recharged because you're with other disciples. At church, you come in, and you're a giver, not a taker. At church, when you leave, and you keep on worshiping God. Because that's what it means to love God with everything that you have. So yeah, we worship, but we worship in the proper way. So love God, that's the scripture. The idea is to honor God with everything that we have. Worship him. Really worship him. Okay, the second point is to serve. He says, and this is why it's important, because Jesus adds on in verse 39. You guys with me? All right, look in the text here, verse 39. And the second is like it. Did the man ask for a second command? He didn't ask. He only asked for the first command. What's the greatest? Jesus just adds this. He's like, okay, I've answered your question. Now let me teach you a little more here. And the second is this. He says, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And so you ask, why does the scripture beg to be underlined? Because everything hangs on these two commandments right here. Love God, love neighbor. And the way I translate love neighbor is into service. Serving other people. As a church, we need to be known as a serving church. As a church, we need to meet the needs of people around us. We need to be in each other's lives and really care for each other. How are you doing loving your neighbor? How are you doing meeting needs? How are you doing taking care of people? And I'm so thankful for all of you who served at the Hope Academy. Thankful for Fayol for leading the charge there. Thankful that we were able to do some good in the community, because that's who we need to be as a church. I'm thankful for all of you that serve in the church here. I'm thankful for all of our Bible Talk leaders, because they really take a responsibility. It's a responsibility overseeing a Bible Talk, a small group Bible discussion. And we have them going on all over Rockland and Orange County, and it's because people have said, I'm willing to do that. I will take a group of people, and I will build them into family, and we will study the scriptures together, and we will be an outward-focused family, caring about people around us. But I appreciate you if you're serving in that way. I appreciate everyone who serves on a service team and helps out in that way. I appreciate all the ones that are right now not listening to the lesson because they're back there serving with our kids and helping out in the children's ministry. You know, that type of servant heart is really what the church is built on. Because none of us can do as much as all of us can do together. But when all of us add a little bit together, a little bit of service together, a great amount can be done. I really am thankful for Efren and Cindy Ponsadas and all they do serving in the church. And they're amazing. They oversee our kids' kingdom, but you guys don't know. I didn't know. Because I've recently started getting here at 9 o'clock to try to help out with the worship team. And by the way, I appreciate the worship team and their service for the church. But these guys are here before 9 o'clock every Sunday. And even though we have service teams, they're their whole family. Brandon, Cece, they're here setting up the chairs, putting up the mics, putting up the screen. And it's amazing. And that's just one of the things that they do for our ministry here. And I thank you, Brandon. Thank you. Thank you, Cece. You guys are amazing. Efren, you do so much for the church. And I just want to inspire all of us to have a heart like that, in which we are serving people and helping out. Let me look at the second scripture here, because I am now 17 minutes and 9 seconds into, I know, but we're doing great. We're doing awesome. We're doing so, so well. So if you flip over to John chapter 13, all of these come from the Gospels. All of them are the words of Jesus, because if you're looking for important scriptures, wow, what better place could you go than to the words of Jesus? So in John chapter 13, it says here, a new command. Why underline this scripture? It's the first three words right there. It's the only time Jesus says that. A new command. Everything that he taught was really based on things that had been taught. But here Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a new command, guys. And that, you know, if you're sitting around listening to Jesus and listening to the parables and listening to his stories and watching the healing, and then all of a sudden he looks at you and he says, a new command I have. More than likely, you'll perk up a little bit. You'll pay attention a little bit. And that's what he's asking us to do. A new command I give you. Now, the fact is, this command is love one another, and you can find it in the Old Testament. What you can't find is, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. I think it's not so much the concept of loving each other as it is the standard that he gives. I expect you to love each other the way that I have loved you. And how did Jesus love? To the extent that he was willing to give his life for his people. Do we love each other that deeply? And so what is this talking about, this idea of loving one another? It's our relationships, being close to each other, having people in our lives, and really having people that will be painfully honest with us about what we need to change, about where we need to grow, about how to be better people for God. Do we have people like that in our lives? Oh, thank you so much. So helpful. See how loving she is? That's just awesome. So, when you look here at this verse and you see what Jesus is saying here, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You talk about distinctive marks of the church. What should the church be known for? And I think sometimes we put out there things that Jesus would not have put out there. I think sometimes we put out certain doctrines out there. This is what we're known for as a church. Jesus would not do that. I think Jesus, if he's going to put something out there, this is what we're known for. It's love. How are we doing loving each other? How are we doing loving the world around us? Are we people that love? And we need to have a culture of love within the church. A culture in which we take care of each other. I'm teaching right now a course at the Denver School of Missions of Ministry and Theology. Denver School of Ministry and Theology. It's an online course, and so I don't go to Denver 3 times a week, although that would be awesome to go to Denver 3 times a week, but I don't do that. I stay at home. And the great thing about this course is I have people from all over the world taking it. I have people there's a student in Malaysia, a student in Singapore, and student in Lagos, student in San Diego, student in Wisconsin, and a couple of other places that, oh, did I say Singapore? Okay, then Singapore, a couple of students there. But we're all getting to know each other, which is great. And it was so interesting, you know, we were doing these discussion groups and that sort of thing, and it was really cool because one of the guys, he's actually India. I didn't mention India, did I? There you are. This guy's from India. His name's Francis. And he's writing to the guy in San Diego, and he says, do you happen to know a guy named Steve? He passed away a couple of years ago. And the guy said, yeah, I did. He was my region leader, and he really influenced me, and he changed my life. And he said, why? Do you know him? And Francis said, he studied the Bible with me. And I thought, what an amazing kingdom we're a part of. What an amazing church this is. That you have a guy from India and a guy from San Diego who have been influenced by the same brother who shaped both of their lives. Why? Because of love. Because love for one another. And then you should have seen these guys as they found out they had this connection. They immediately became best friends. One's in India, one's in San Diego, but they're best friends because they've both been influenced by this one guy who died and has now gone on to be with the Lord. But he leaves a legacy behind, and it's a legacy of love. What legacy are you leaving behind? What legacy are we leaving behind as a church? It should be a legacy of love. It's John 13. Okay, let's look at Matthew 28. You guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. Matthew 28. And you might ask, well, why does this scripture need to be underlined? Because it's the last declaration of Jesus. It's the last thing that he said before ascending back up into heaven. It's the way that Matthew decides to close out his gospel with these words. In verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountains where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. So this is the last commandment that Jesus gives his disciples. In a sense, it's his marching orders. It's his directive. I want you as my people to go out and to do this. And also, another reason you can underscore this is because of the way he starts it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He bases what he's about to say on his own authority, which is both commanding the whole earth and all of the heavens. In other words, it's sovereign over all creation. And that's who Jesus is. And we need to appreciate him as that. We need to recognize that we get to follow a Lord who is sovereign over all creation. He rules it. He commands it. He brought it into existence. And now he says, based on that, based on the authority that I have, that everyone recognizes, all the angels recognize, therefore, and that's a concluding word, because of this, go make disciples. Because of this, teach them to obey. And so there's two directives I want to pull out of this last statement of Jesus. And the first one is to love the lost. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Evangelism. Another distinguishing quality of the church should be that we are an evangelistic church. That we care about reaching people that don't know about God. That we care about people that aren't in the scriptures and we want to get them in the scriptures. That we want people to love Jesus. And we want people to understand the quality of life that they can have in Christ. We also want people to understand that what we are about is, it matters for eternity. It's not just for the here and now, but it's for eternity. And so we get in there and we help people. We make disciples. We share it with people. We speak up. We speak to people. I went to the campus retreat a couple of weeks ago, and I was sitting down, and it was lunchtime. And so there weren't any classes or anything like that. And so I brought a book with me, and I thought, well, I'll just sit through lunch and, you know, let the students go and do their thing during lunch, and then I'll join up with the next class. And so I was sitting there just reading the book, minding my own business, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw these two young women, obviously campus students. They sort of walked by me this way, and then I could see them in the corner of my eye. They just sort of stopped. And they just stopped for a few seconds, and I thought, I know what they're doing. They want to ask me a tough Bible question, because that's what I get. People always are asking me tough Bible questions. And so they're debating, should we bother him? He's reading, you know, should we ask him this question that we have? And so I thought, let me just see if they come back. And they did. They sort of circled back, and they said, excuse us. And I said, yes. And they said, listen, we noticed that you're reading. And the book I was reading was called God's Dreams, and it's a book about God. And we just want you to know that we have a worship service this Sunday. We want to invite you out to church with us this Sunday. It's right here in the hotel, so you don't have to travel anywhere. It's tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Would you please come and worship with us? And they handed me a card, and I kept that card. And I just, and I was thinking to myself, how should I answer them? And I said, what are your names? And they introduced themselves. And I said, well, my name is Steve. And you know what? I'm going to come to your service tomorrow. I will absolutely be there tomorrow. And they walked out, and they were so excited, you know, and they were so happy. And I thought, that's how it ought to be. You know, they're just sharing with people. They're just sharing what they have found. The word evangelism means good news. Share good news. And when you have good news, you want to share it with other people. And so do we have that type of spirit inside us where we want to share? And the second thing that you see in this scripture right here, and it's the last thing that I'll mention, is to love spiritual growth. It talks about in the scripture, teach them to obey. Okay, so we don't obey easily, and we don't obey naturally. We need people in our lives that are going to help us to obey. We like to call this discipling, but you can call it mentoring. You can call it one another relationships. You can call it being close to someone. But we need in our lives someone who's going to help us to see the areas that we're blind to, because we're all blind to something in our lives. And the goal is to help each other become more like Jesus. And we can't do that on our own. We need somebody to be in there with us to teach us about compassion, or teach us about love, or teach us about faithfulness, or teach us about perseverance, or teach us about purity. We need people to help us with these things. And so we need to have in our lives discipling, people that are there that can help us to be more like God in this area. How are you doing with that? How are you doing just having somebody in your life that's going to help you to obey? Now, when you look at all these things, it can be a bit overwhelming if you just take all five of them at the same time. You know, I need to learn to have 24/7 worship. I need to be a servant. I need to love each other and love one another and have these deep relationships. I need to reach out to people around me and care about the lost. And I need somebody in my life to help me to obey. But you'll get there. And as a church, we have to constantly examine ourselves to see how we're doing here. To close the lesson, I want to ask you to do one thing. I have one friendly challenge for you. You up for it? Okay, here's the friendly challenge. This week, work on one of these areas. Find the one that you need to work on. And I'm not even saying work on the thing you're weakest at. If you need to strengthen something, work on that. But find one of these areas and work on it. And here's the thing. If all of us will work on one area, all of us together will strengthen the church. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast. For more information about our ministry or to attend a church service, please visit our website at hvregion.com.